Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My returning guest tonight, it is always a pleasure to talk with her, is poet and photographer Alexis Roan Fancher. And we're talking about her newly published collection, Erotic, New and Selected. Alexis, welcome back. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Talk to me about this collection, because it's a collection of poems from other places and some new poems, too.
Well, it's called Erotic, New and Selected.
I love that title, because it sort of seems like the erotic experience is new and selected.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but I like that, too. The book has poems from my first erotic book, How I Lost My Virginity, to Michael Cohen, and other heart stab poems. And no, not that Michael Cohen, a different Michael Cohen.
I actually thought that, but go ahead.
And it also has poems from my second erotic book, which is called Enter Here.
Yep.
And then there's a third of the book that is all new work, poems that have been published here and there, but never before in a collection. And for the first time, it has all of the sister poems. I've written a series of maybe 10, 12 poems about me and my sister behaving badly all over the world. And you can read them all.
Oh, my God. Are you guys behaving badly all over the world? Is your sister still alive?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when I started writing these, Mark, a few years back, I actually asked my sister, I said, are you cool with me, you know, showing all our dirty laundry? And not only was she cool, but she kept calling me back and saying, have you written about the time in Rome when, you know, and she's contributed a lot of ideas to that series. So she's a pretty cool sister.
The funny thing is, reading all the poems together, and I'm really glad you did collect them all in this one spot, I totally believe that she did that. That's totally in character with your sister.
Yeah, she's a naughty girl, my sister, and quite wonderful. She's an elementary school teacher in Georgia, believe it
or not. Oh, my God.
I know.
Is she concerned at all that this might come out, as they say?
Nah, she's fearless.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's really, really good. Now, the great thing about putting a collection like this together is you also use a lot of different formats for your work. I mean, there's haikus, there's prose, there's something that has several chapters to it that reads like a little quick novel. Talk to me about your preferred forms for writing. Do you just have a subject and go, this is the form that's going to fit the best?
Sometimes the poem will come out that way in stanzas or in big block prose poems. And sometimes I change them. Like I'll look at a poem and it's in a block prose and I'll think, you know what, this should be in stanzas and it works better that way. And other times it'll go the other way. And then I fool around with the stanzas. Where should they be? Should it be here? Should it be there? Should I put these words together? Where is there a natural break? I think the poem dictates the form.
Do you ever tinker with a poem after it's been published?
Oh, yeah.
So are any of the poems here? Because, you know, we go back to the, you know, one of your first books. And did you tinker with any of them this time around and go, yeah, you know, I could have phrased this better or put this here?
Mostly line breaks.
Okay.
I'll change the line breaks because I find them, you know, I've learned more as I've been writing for years now. And that's the most of what I do is the line breaks. I'll rewrite a poem and put a different version in a book and say earlier version was found in such and such literary review or journal. My wonderful teacher, Jack Pipes, whom I studied with for many years, told a story. I forget which painter it was, but I don't know, one of the great French painters, maybe Monet, let's use Monet, to the Louvre with a tiny little palette with paints on it. And when the guard wasn't looking, he would repaint and retouch his paintings.
And, wow,
if Monet can do it, why not me, right?
That's right. That's a great story. That is. Yeah. There's a poem of yours in this, Larceny, a Story. It's in 11 parts, and that was one of the things I was referring to that is almost novelistic. When I read that, I went, is this a movie script? I mean, have you ever thought about filming any of your poems? Because they seem, some of them at least, seem very cinematic.
Well, thank you. There is a producer and filmmaker in New York who, before the pandemic, had met with me a couple times about putting the poem for the Sad Waitress at the diner in Barstow and another couple of poems into a small movie. However, up came COVID and everything was put back at least a year. I studied filmmaking and I studied screenwriting for a few years, not so much because I wanted to write screenplays, but because I wanted to write really good dialogue, you know, and learning to write a screenplay is all about dialogue, and it taught me a lot.
And you're able to use that in your poetry, obviously, because your poem, there's dialogue in a number of your poems, and it seems very real.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll tell my teacher. We're still friends.
Now, there was another series. I think there was two poems. And I want you to explain the process to me. It's the Murakami Cento love poems.
Ah, the Centos, yeah.
Yeah, talk to me about that, because you just essentially took sections of his novel Norwegian Wood and then sort of arranged them into a poem?
I did. I arranged them. Well,
that's fascinating. That's really fascinating.
Well, I was hitting a wall with my own work, and I love Murakami.
I especially
love Kafka on the Shore and Norwegian Wood. And I just had it open to a page, and I just started typing sentences onto a page on my computer that interested me throughout the book with no rhyme or reason and in no particular order. And then I started choosing those sentences that I cut from the book and arranging them in a whole new order and creating poems from that.
That's a fascinating process, yeah. William Burroughs used to do that, used to cut up other work and then just rearrange it for his novels.
Huh. I love William Burroughs.
I know, I do too.
But yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it's a fairly well-documented way of writing. Of course, you give, you know, credit to the original book.
I want to make that clear to the audience. She absolutely gives credit to Murakami for that. But you've created another work from his work, which I think is fascinating. I would love to know what he would think about that.
Maybe I'll send it to him. It never occurred to me.
That's a good in. It's a good in. So maybe you'll get to talk with him, which I would love to know about. If you talk to him, he'd be one of those people I would die to interview.
Oh, I know. He's so fantastic. And he's a jazz fanatic like me. So we would have two things to talk about: how I cribbed his work and how I love jazz.
I want to also mention, for the benefit of the audience, something that I've always loved that you also do, that's included in this book, is your photography. And sometimes I think your photography doesn't get the notice it should. I get to see your photography a lot through your posts. And I think some of it is just absolutely outstanding. And I especially love your photography of people.
Thank you.
Have you shown a lot now, your photography?
I had a big show back in 2015 for the first 35 poets from Los Angeles that I shot. And it was Poetry Month, and it was a big deal. I have not pushed it as much. I am working with Moontide Press, Eric Murago at Moontide Press here in L.A., to do a book of my portraits of poets from Southern California, about 100 of them. And I had the last 20 poets I really wanted in the book all scheduled last year. And then again, COVID and everything fell apart. But we're hoping to resuscitate the project, and it would be a book.
I've seen some of those photographs that you've taken of the poets, and they're wonderful. I mean, they're definitely gallery quality.
Thank you.
I would love to see like a large format coffee table book of that. With your comments about the poets too, which would be really worthwhile. But it's just really funny. Is photography just something you picked up, or have you always done photography?
When I was 10, my father took my mother, my sister, and I on a trip to San Francisco, and he bought me a little, point-and-shoot camera and film. This was in the days of film, and about 10 rolls of film, and turned me loose in San Francisco. And I photographed everything I saw. And when the photographs were developed, he said, "I want to see you." He said, "Look at these. These are beautiful. You're a natural photographer." And he went out, and I kid you not, bought me a Nikon.
And nice father.
Well, he was an artist, and he worked a straight job, and he did a straight life, but he was very artistic, and he had a beautiful singing voice and appreciated music and art, and he saw something in me, and he went out and bought me the best equipment he could, and I've been shooting pretty much ever since.
And I love your photography as much as your poetry. I mean,
thank you.
And the things where you manipulate colors and stuff in landscapes, and they're just gorgeous. They're just really, really special. So I just want to throw those out compliments so people know that this book is also illustrated by you. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch, my returning guest tonight, and it is always a real pleasure to talk to her, is poet and photographer Alexis Roan Fancher. And she has a newly published collection that I strongly recommend, Erotic, New and Selected. You always want your erotic stuff new and selected, because otherwise it's old and crappy. No, you want your eroticism new and selected. I think that's a great title. And even though you didn't intend it, it came out.
I almost thought I heard you say nude and selected.
Nude and selected. All nude. All selected.
All the time. Right?
All the time. Can I implore you to read a poem?
All right. I'll read this one. It's called "This Is Not a Poem." Hmm. This is not a poem. Bam. This is an assault to your senses, a rape of your status quo. This is not a poem, not some trendy leopard print, not a polka dot parade. No, you do not smell hot dogs, cotton candy, or frankincense. The myrrh has left the building. This is not a poem. It's an anthem, a declaration of non-compliance, a liberation proclamation. Snap, snap, this is not a poem. It's a love song, a torch song, a song of myself and not you. No tears, got it? Don't act like a girl. Blow your nose, wipe your eyes, don't make yourself look stupid. This is not a poem. It's salt poured on the wound. Can it feel? Only if I let it burn too deeply. This is not a poem. No, it isn't good enough. No, I've read poems and it's not the same. Snap, snap, this is not a poem. It's a hip-hop of my own creation, a celebration of my brains, my breasts, my underground caverns. This is not a poem. It's a rite of passage, a starry night, a reluctant homage to your name spelled out in lonely Broadway lights. My life goes dark without you, honey. Clap, clap. This is not a poem. You, with your lust, with your x-ray eyes, listen up now. Be careful how you love me. Be great for second chances. Don't push too hard. I might surprise you. You'll see, I'm tougher than I look. I eat Bukowski for breakfast.
The final line of that, I loved when I read that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's fun. I wrote that from my first book. People were talking about, well, what is a poem, actually? And I'm like, well, this is not a poem. There you go.
It was a performance.
Yeah.
So
Thank you.
Some of the, when I read some of your poems, they're poems that, they exist in my head. But pieces like that, when I read them, obviously I started thinking about you performing it. Do you write specifically for performance?
No, I don't, but I'm a ham, and I have a degree in theater with an emphasis in acting. I studied acting at university, and I now I get to write my own material. I write my own stuff and I get to perform it. I think there is an aspect of performance in my work, and I do work on how to perform my work. Over this last year, performing on Zoom with no immediate audience give and take, and the, you know, the feedback you get from a live audience, it's been really weird for me, because poems like this, I know where the laughs come. You know, I've read it enough, I've worked on it enough.
Got it. Yeah. Respond. So you actually wait for the audience reaction.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you're sort of accustomed to it. Not having a live audience, watching people do jazz hands in silence on Zoom, is not the same. You know.
I know. I was gonna. Did you write more stuff during COVID, or were you just too caught up in the whole mess?
Oh, I've been, you know, quarantined up here in the bluffs of San Pedro, overlooking the port of Los Angeles and the harbor. This book was written before the pandemic, but I have a new book coming out also from New York Quarterly, end of the year, that's all erotica, all brand new, a full-length book that was written over this past year.
Do you have a title for it? Do you have a title for it yet?
I have a working title called No Exit.
Wait a minute.
I've been calling it Brazen.
Don't call it No Exit, because everybody's going to think existentialism.
I know. It was in response to my last full-time erotic book that was called Enter Here.
Yeah. Okay. I understand that. But No Exits is, when you think about like erotic philosophies, the least erotic philosophy is existentialism.
No extent.
Yeah,
you're right.
Nausea, you know. by Sartre? No. He wrote it while he was tripping. Yeah. Now, when you read about your past experiences, and I encourage people to read your poetry, all of it. When I read that you worked as an artist model, a temp, a bartender, a sales rep, an actor, cocktail waitress in a men's only club, which has got to be a tough job. And there's several photographs of waitresses in this book, and you have an affinity for the women who ply that job.
I do.
You really seem to like get inside their head and sort of express their inner, you know, erotic ideas.
I've always thought that waitresses were vastly underrated.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, I used to work as a sales rep, selling advertising, and sometimes I would not have such a good day. And I remember going into Denny's, having lost a bunch of money that day on people that did not renew their contracts, and sitting there with a cup of coffee and watching the waitress and envying her, because at the end of her workday, she would have money in her pocket. I've waitressed. I cocktail waitressed. I was, you know, stiffed. One of the poems, I'm not sure if it's in this book, but was when I was working at that men's only club, and I waited on the football legend Merlin Olsen. So this goes back.
Oh my God. That's a blast from the past.
Well, I served his table, and he had like 10 people, and I served them drinks all night long. And at the end of that, they left, and they left me a dollar.
No.
Yes, Merlin Olsen left me a dollar, and I picked up that dollar and followed them to the exit, and I said, Mr. Olsen, Merlin Olsen, you forgot your effing dollar. And then I got fired. But it was worth it. It was worth it. I mean, I couldn't believe this is big football hero, multimillionaire. And that's what he thought of me.
You know, when stuff like that happens, and I hear stories about stuff like that, although that is an extreme story, I'm wondering if people are just being purposely assholes in order to put you in your place.
I gave them perfect service. There was nothing to put. No place.
I'm sure you did. I'm just saying that they think so much of themselves that they want to put the lowly other people in their place, and they do crappy things. I mean, who does that? That's not a mistake.
Merlin Olsen does that.
Now that I know, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's...
I'm going to tell that story to other people, too. That's really awful.
Please do. It's true.
Pass the word. One of the things that I also noticed in this collection of poems, there's a lot of references to other artists of all different kinds. There's a reference sort of sideways to Hemingway. That's a great poem, by the way. There's a reference to Bob Dylan and Subterranean Homesick Blues. There's a wonderful reference to one of my favorite artists, Edward Hopper. Do you love Hopper?
I love Hopper. I've written a number of poems about his paintings, putting myself in his paintings. I have a new one that's coming out in the next edition of New York Quarterly Magazine that I just wrote. The title is We Are All Hopper Paintings Now. And it was taken from a headline in the Manchester Guardian. Some man was talking about, some writer was talking about the pandemic and how he felt that way. And I just took the title and ran with it. I have a number of poems that were written about Hopper paintings or put myself in it. I think with Hopper, there's enough empty space to step into.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. One of my favorite poems by him is the woman who's the usherette in a movie theater, and you just sort of see her standing by herself off to the side while you just catch the edge of the film on the screen. And I've always loved that that painting incredibly, and it's, I find it you're right. It almost elicits poetry.
You will love this new poem because it ends with that woman in that.
Oh my God!
I can find it. I can read you the ending if you want.
Sure.
Of it. Let me find it here. Published poem. I can't read the whole thing because it's
not 90 pages.
It's not been published yet, but.
Yeah, don't do that.
But I'll read you the very end, the last part. Here we go. There we go. It's a sister poem, too.
That's interesting.
There are no rescuers anymore. I know that. I'm the usherette leaning against the wall in New York movie. I've seen that film a dozen times. I'm lost in reverie, dressed in a thoughtful blue uniform. Rebellion looks like the strappy ass shoes have hidden on my feet. Look at her shoes next time you look at that painting, and you'll see what I mean. She's not dressed for work.
No, she isn't. Anyway, wow, I can't believe you ended the poem on that painting. That was interesting.
I love that painting. I'm with you. That's gorgeous.
I know. There's a poem that you wrote, and I just want to ask you about this person because this poem in this collection really bothered me. The one about June Fairchild. June Fairchild isn't dead. It's on page 52. June Fairchild was a real person.
Yes.
Talk to me about who she was.
Fairchild.
The weird thing is, I think the name just sounds so familiar to me, too.
She was pretty famous. She was a go-go dancer in the, those early go-go things, Hullabaloo Club, those things. She was an actress in Up in Smoke.
Okay.
The Cheech and Chong movie where she snorts Ajax. Very famous. She named the band Three Dog Night. She gave them that name. She was very, very beautiful and very talented and succumbed to drugs and alcohol. And when I met her, I was just sitting there at the bar, and then she was sitting next to me, and she, I don't know if I was talking to someone or she'd seen my work, but she wanted me to photograph her. And I said, great. I didn't realize who she was. And I said, great, let's do it. Give me your phone number. She said, well, I don't have a phone number, but here's my brother's number. And she wrote it down on the napkin, and I took it with me. And about a month later, she was dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's an amazing, powerful poem, by the way, and I want to recommend that among many in this.
Thank you.
Can you read one more? We just have a few minutes left.
Sure. You have any preferences? Or
what you choose of the ones that I...
All right, I'm going to do The Small Rain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Okay.
Excuse me. This Small Rain. This Small Rain sambas on San Vicente, wanders through Whittier, Mambo's past Montebello and East L.A. This small rain moves like a Latina, overplucks her eyebrows, drinks tequila shooters, fronts a girl band. This small rain works two jobs, dawdles and downpours. This small rain seeds clouds. This small rain drives to Vegas in a tormenta, has a friend in Jesus, needs boots and a winter coat. In this drought-racked city, this small rain dreams of flash floods, depositos, indigo lakes, cisterns, high water, big gulps, endless refills. In this drought-racked city, this small rain settles on the erba seca, sleeps on the freeways, plays the lotto, is unlucky in love. This small rain longs to hose down the highways. This small rain chases storms. This small rain has a tsunami in her heart. This small rain kamikazes in the gutter, suicides on summer sidewalks, dreams of a deluge that overflows the riverbanks, washes L.A. clean. In this drought-racked city, this small rain scans the heavens, looking for a monsoon, searching for Su Salvador in the reclaimed desert sky.
And with that, we're going to end our talk. As always, Alexis, it's a real pleasure to talk to you and to hear you read. My returning guest tonight is poet and photographer Alexis Rowan Fancher. Her newly published collection, and it is really worth picking up, Erotic, New and Selected. Alexis, it's been a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure, Mark. Thank you so much.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.